points to the future. Straight lines carve out the way. You never make moral judgments. Only one truth you defend. Money must be free to make money. That's all there is in the end. You take the diamonds out of the earth. You throw the corpses in. One crop is as good as another, as long as the cash keeps pouring in. The wheels must never stop turning. The machine must be obeyed. The future has got to be fueled, and there's a price to be paid.
Brown like the earth, black like the dust. Who can we turn to? Who can we trust? The gun is their god. They have taken our land. They take what we dig. They take without end.
We drown in the dust. We choke in the heat. Our skin grows sores. Our lungs rot. Still we remember the cold clear air, waking at dawn with a morning star. Still we remember the sound of the flute, the feel of the grass under our feet.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to present The Yes Men Are Revolting as part of the KBOO at the Clinton monthly film series. The Yes Men Are Revolting is a documentary directed by Andy Bickelbaum and Mike Bonanno, which follows the comedy troupe The Yes Men as they stage phony press releases and events to bring attention to environmental dangers and corporate greed. Again, that's The Yes Men Are Revolting, Thursday, August 13th at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The revolution will not be brought to you by the shape of a war theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. We are not going to be hearing from Eric Cascadia today. We're going to be hearing an episode of Flashpoints Investigative News Journalism with host Dennis Bernstein. Today, we'll examine President Obama's recent statements about climate change. Then we'll talk about the National Security Agency's demands for a backdoor into all commercial data encryption programs. Plus, we'll talk about plans for continued U.S. bombing of Syria. And finally, it'll take a look at the latest austerity plan and bailout for Greece. All this and more on Flashpoints.
Today on Flashpoints, we discuss President Obama's recent statements addressing the importance of climate change and global warming. Next, we'll talk with Jenna McLaughlin, who writes for The Intercept, about Justice Department efforts to create a backdoor to all commercial encryption programs. Then, we'll feature an exclusive interview with our special correspondent on the ground in Damascus, Syria, and hear reactions to the Pentagon's announcement of plans to allow airstrikes in support of CIA-trained rebel forces. Finally, we return to the issue of austerity and what is facing the people of Greece as the European Union announces the possibility of yet another bailout deal. I'm Kevin Pina, filling in for Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints, your daily investigative magazine. Stay tuned. Yesterday, President Obama introduced a new plan to combat climate change, saying, "This is our moment to get something right and get something right for our kids." While I want to believe the Democrats are actually going to do something about climate change, like many other people, I'm skeptical. But before we bring in our next guest to talk about this in more detail, let's go ahead and set the context with this piece by Euronews.
U.S. President Barack Obama has unveiled a ramped-up plan to cut carbon emissions from power plants. Speaking in Washington, he declared climate change the greatest threat facing the world.
Today, we're here to announce America's Clean Power Plan, a plan 2 years in the making and the single most important step America has ever taken in the fight against global climate change.
Obama said unless aggressive action is taken now, the world may not be able to reverse global warming.
In December, with America leading the way, we have a chance to put in place one of the most ambitious international climate agreements in human history. And it's easy to be cynical and to say climate change is the kind of challenge that's just too big for humanity to solve. I am absolutely convinced that's wrong. We can solve this thing, but we have to get going. It's exactly the kind of challenge that's big enough to remind us that we're all in this together.
Obama is rejecting criticism that his plan will hike energy bills, hurt the poor, and cost jobs. It all comes ahead of international climate talks in Paris in a few months' time.
I'd like to welcome back our go-to guy here on Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio, Harvey Wasserman. He is, of course, the editor of Solartopia and speaks and writes widely on energy, the environment, history, election protection, and politics. Harvey, welcome back to Flashpoints.
Well, it's an honor. Great to be back with you.
Harvey, what are we going to make of this statement by President Obama? He is being heard all over the airwaves today talking about a commitment to doing something real about climate change.
Yeah, like drilling in the Arctic. I mean, come on, and funding new nuclear plants. I mean, come on. We have a real schizophrenia here. I mean, Obama wants to be the green guy. Well, number one, he's acknowledging the problem. That's helpful, as opposed to some of the Republicans who keep telling us they're not scientists. And so we will appreciate that much. There has been some decent support from the administration on renewable energy. But to come out with a statement, you know, a plan for preserving the environment and fighting global warming while you're giving a green light to Shell to drill in the Arctic and you're funding new nuclear plants in Georgia and South Carolina, I mean, you know, does the right hand know what the left hand's doing? Apparently not.
Well, so that raises a good point. Is it just a question of words and propaganda, you know, setting up the next Democratic candidate for the presidency, or is Obama actually in a position to do something real before his term expires about climate change?
He's definitely in a position to do something real, and he's not doing it. You know, I mean, drilling in the Arctic, he's allowing fracking to go ahead. I mean, if any president of the United States was seriously concerned about the survival of the human race on this ecosystem known as planet Earth, they'd be arresting frackers right now. I mean, fracking is a technology perfectly designed to extinct the human race. Drilling into the Earth, destroying the substructure, causing earthquakes, and wrecking our water table. I mean, you know, it's absolutely suicidal, and yet here we are pushing ahead with it. There's still, as I said, funding four reactors, the government is, in South Carolina, two each in South Carolina and Georgia. He's sent these horrific drill rigs out into the Arctic, which for absolutely no sane reason whatsoever. I mean, it's just beyond belief, and I'm very, very proud of my 30-year affiliation with Greenpeace. They were out there hanging off of bridges, doing what Greenpeace does. And I want to compliment Annie Leonard and Greenpeace for their fabulous activities out there. And so, you know, what to make of this? It's you just have to shake your head. You know, okay, Obama, we're glad you acknowledge global warming, but you don't frack, you don't drill the Arctic, you don't build nuclear plants, and simultaneously claim you're concerned about climate change.
And that is the voice of our guest today, Harvey Wasserman. He is the editor of Solartopia. Well, Harvey, I got to ask you, because I know that you're probably going to be watching closely. If you're not going to be there yourself, there is another hearing on the nuclear power plant in San Luis Obispo happening tomorrow, Wednesday. What is up with that? I understand their license is up for renewal again?
Well, this is a general hearing. They are pushing ahead for a license renewal. And this is part of that scenario, but there has been a tremendous breach of security at the NRC. Somebody actually pointed out a major safety problem from within the commission. The chief inspector, the resident inspector at Diablo Canyon, a guy named Dr. Michael Peck, was there for 5 years, and he wrote a report which the commission kept secret, saying basically that he was convinced that Diablo cannot withstand a likely earthquake at Diablo. Since Diablo was built, literally a dozen earthquake faults have been discovered. There's been no significant compensation in terms of the structure of the plant. It's only 45 miles from the San Andreas Fault, which is half the distance Fukushima was from the earthquake that destroyed it. So these concerns have come forward. There are also very serious water quality issues with the state of California. Diablo is in violation of the state and federal water quality laws. I mean, if it was driving a car, it would be pulled over and arrested. And so these have prompted some concern at the part of the commission, which we generally refer to as no real chance or nobody really cares. The hearings will go on Wednesday in San Luis Obispo. They start, I think, at 1 or 1:30 in the afternoon, and then there's a break, and they resume in the evening. There will be lots of people there on both sides. I understand that the PG&E has organized plant workers to come out. But it's incredibly important. People should understand, of course, that the anti-nuclear movement has just recently shut the two huge reactors at San Onofre in Southern California.
But Harvey, let's step back just a little bit. So we don't want to assume everybody knows about Diablo Canyon. This is actually California's last operating nuclear power plant, isn't it?
That's correct.
And PG&E would like to extend that license, I understand, for another 20 years, and that's what these hearings are about.
Well, and it's insane because the license doesn't expire until the 2020s. So they want to go until the middle of the 21st century with nuclear plants that were designed in the 1960s. And all my listeners, all your listeners, I'm sure, are all driving cars that were designed in the 1960s. These are two reactors surrounded by earthquake faults. And a tsunami zone, by the way. Now, the two reactors at Diablo, really at Diablo Beach, are 85 feet in the air, but the intake pipes are at sea level. And so a tsunami could, in fact, cause very serious problems at Diablo, even though they're fairly high up in the air.
What's the likely outcome? I mean, we've been fighting this battle for years now, and PG&E and the nuclear power industry have continued to manage to keep that thing online. What are the chances here of actually shutting down California's last nuclear power plant, Harvey?
They're actually very good for two reasons. First of all, the earthquake issue is absolutely unavoidable, especially in the wake of Chernobyl, but also of Fukushima, which was destroyed by an earthquake. In fact, six reactors at Fukushima Unit 1, Daiichi, they're all General Electric reactors. These are American plants. And we're now pretty reasonably sure there's pretty good evidence that Unit 1 was actually destroyed by the earthquake, that the meltdown was in progress before the tsunami hit. Units 2 and 3, different story probably. But the reality is that an earthquake 120 miles away from the epicenter of the reactor did destroy it. And as I said, Diablo is only 45 miles from San Andreas Fault. So this is important stuff, and it's unavoidable stuff. And at some point, PG&E, which is the only utility in the country that's ever been prosecuted essentially for murder, killing 8 people in San Bruno, they've got a serious dance to do here to avoid this issue. There are a dozen known earthquake faults closer than the San Andreas. They're all connected, and the most recently discovered one is just 600 yards. I'll say that again, 600 yards from the epicenter of Unit 1 at Diablo Canyon.
Wow.
So this is very serious stuff, and even the NRC is going to have a hard time ducking this for very long. And secondly, the water issue in the middle of a drought. Diablo is in violation of state water quality laws, and the state itself does have legal grounds to shut Diablo. That's not often the case. The 1954 Atomic Energy Act, they built a firewall around the nuclear industry, but there is state regulation sometimes that's of import, and that is the case here with Diablo. In fact, the governor really could, if he wanted to, shut down Diablo tomorrow, force them to be in compliance with water quality laws, but that's also something that's very important. Ultimately, though, as you know, Kevin, it's money doesn't talk, it swears, as Bob Dylan says, and the Diablo is no longer the cash cow that it was for PG&E. You have renewable energy coming in, gangbusters. It's much, much cheaper than nuclear.
If folks want to know what's going on there now and what happens with these hearings tomorrow. How can they stay in touch? How can they stay on top of this issue?
Okay, there's A4NR, the number 4, Alpha 4, Nancy Robert, .org. That's Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility. And there's the Mothers for Peace, one of the oldest activist organizations in the world, actually, still based in San Luis Obispo since the 1960s. So those two websites will work. Nukefree.org, which I edit, will also work. And I'll be putting up a radio show about it at prn.fm. It's a podcast.
Excellent.
So, but if you will call, I will talk to you again on Thursday, and maybe we can give you some more information.
I think we'll
that'll
do that.
That'll be the anniversary, the 70th anniversary of Hiroshima, and there will be a gentleman who's going to walk from downtown San Luis Obispo out 9 miles to the plant, and I am actually going to ride a bike. So,
fantastic.
All right.
Well, we will do that. We'll get back to you on Thursday, and we'll get an update on that. Hey, Harvey, thanks again. That's Harvey Wasserman, our go-to guy on the environment, commenting on President Obama's newfound commitment to end global warming and climate change. And, of course, talking, as always, about the last nuclear power plant here in California in San Luis Obispo, Diablo Canyon. Thanks again, Harvey, for joining us today on Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio.
Thank you, man. Anytime.
And now it's time for a short music break. And when we get back, we're going to talk with our next guest, Jenna McLaughlin of The Intercept, about commercial encryption and what it means for your privacy, as the Obama administration and the Justice Department insist that companies like Apple and Google include a backdoor that may actually make it easier for hackers to get your information. We'll be right back.
Wow.